The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. Opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium. Tuned in to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed, broadcasting from behind the enemy lines that I call USA Inc. Today's date is August the 12th, 2016. It's a Friday afternoon. It is a hot and humid Friday afternoon here in North Carolina. I'm telling you, I hope it cool off some. I hope we don't get any more rain overnight, because we have been getting some rain. Do need the rain, obviously. That is how most people in the area I live in get their drinking water, is through the replenishing of underground streams and aquifers and what have you. So I'm not complaining about the rain, but I need to get some grass cut, and I can't cut it if it's wet. So I just hope we don't get no rain tonight, and I'll be able to get out there tomorrow afternoon and cut that grass that needs it real, real bad. At least it's not, you know, above my ankles, but, you know, I need to get that grass cut. Today is going to be an hour, possibly more, of news and information. Really, I'm just going to do a continuation of yesterday's program concerning the comments of Donald Trump that CEO Obama is the founder of ISIS and Hillary Clinton is their MVP. Now, he is walking back those comments, but I'm not walking back my comments. He's saying that he was being sort of tongue-in-cheek. He was being sarcastic or what have you. But again, as I shared the information with you yesterday, I even gave you the document numbers of the documents that were forced through Freedom of Information Act request through the federal courts, and I gave you the documentation that showed that a branch of military intelligence had been supporting ISIS. And I mean, this has come out over, I would say, you know, mostly in foreign media, non-U.S. based media. They have from time to time talked about this, but you're not going to see it on your cable channels that you have here in America. It's very rare that they're going to be honest and truthful with you. And so a lot of times, you know, a lot of people who use the corporate media as their main source of information, you can tell they don't know what the hell they're talking about. You can tell that they are not informed. You can tell exactly where they get their information from the propagandists, masters that are being paid lots of money to come on your television set every night and tell you lies and half truths. And so, again, the mission of Black Talk Media Project, when it was founded in 2008, I've told this story several times and I don't mind telling it again, but I watched a video of Malcolm X being interviewed by a member of the American news media. And he talked about, in this interview, how media controls the minds of the masses. He talked about how the American news media during World War II made the people look at the Russians and the Chinese as their friends and allies, and the Japanese and the Germans as their enemies. But then right after World War II, the news media programming flipped the script on them. And now the Germans are our friends, the Japanese are our friends, and the Russians and the Chinese are our enemies. And so he gave an example, a historical example, that a person can look up and see the truth in what he was saying. And his famous quote, at least, you know, to me, a very important quote about media. He said that media is the most powerful entity on the face of the planet. It controls the minds of the masses. It can make the innocent look guilty and the guilty look innocent. And that's power. And he ain't never lied. Dead on the money with that. So that is why I founded the Black Talk Media Project. You know, I felt like we need an organization that is going to be focused on building up independent black media. And it would manifest itself later that year through Black Talk Radio Network, which started off with just one program, this program. Black Talk Radio News. I don't know what I was calling it back then. I think I may have just called it Black Talk Radio. But this program, it started with just one program. Then shortly after, there's a independent black media station on Black Talk Radio Network called The Context of White Supremacy. They also post their podcast to our network, and they joined us later that year after being kicked off of Blog Talk Radio, the same group of white supremacists in media that banned my program when I was on their platform. And so, you know, it has grown. Not as fast or as much as I would like it to have grown, but we do have more than just one or two programs on the network. I'm not talking about the radio station that you're listening to right now. Obviously, you know there's more than just one radio program on Black Talk Radio Network's flagship station. But if you go to the platform, we have independent media producers who are running their own digital radio stations. They are clients of the North Carolina-based nonprofit Black Talk Media Project. And so us controlling, and we've talked about this, I may have said it yesterday, but how long have we been talking about being in control of our images, being in control of our stories? Now, also, you know, images and stories, yeah, that does play a role into the news media, but we do need more than ever independent sources of news, because most of these people that's on television, I don't care what their skin colors are, or man, most of them are lying to you, or they're only reading from the teleprompter script or reading from their pre-approved notes. They can't be real with you. Not saying that they want to be real with you. Some people just want to be on TV and collect a big paycheck and what have you. So, you know, this is why I'm so intrigued by this Donald Trump ISIS comments. I'm so intrigued by this story because right in front of our very eyes, if you are paying attention, you can see the propaganda machine at work. So I'm just going to do a follow-up and bring more information and facts to you concerning the United States support of terrorism globally. I mean, going back, who knows how far, but at least we can document going back to the 1950s, starting with the overthrow of Iran, the regime change that they still haven't given up on. They still trying to do it. You know, the Iranian Revolution got rid of the puppet government that they had, the brutal dictator that they had, supported by the CIA, and, you know, they overthrew him, and now, you know, they installed their own government and what have you. So the United States has been supporting terrorism for a very, very long time, and they have been supporting Al-Qaeda, ISIS. It's all the same to me. It's all the same. Al-Nusra, all of them, you know, they're all the same. I mean, damn, we even got pictures of John McCain going over there meeting with some terrorists, and then he talking about, oh, I didn't know who they were. Come on, dude, you a U.S. senator, all right, and been a U.S. senator for a very long time, so you mean you just, your security team is that lax that you just travel around the globe and don't know who the hell you meeting with? I'm not that stupid. I hope you all are not that stupid either. All right, so this is a very important story, and yesterday I said that if you pay attention to the mainstream corporate state propaganda channels, they are not going to do any fact checking. They're not going to mention the 2013 Freedom of Information Act request. The lawsuit, actually, they denied the request, but the lawsuit that produced the documents that show that they have, the U.S. military has been supporting ISIS. And I mean, just ask yourself this question. Every picture I've seen of so-called ISIS members or soldiers or whatever you want to call them, they're carrying U.S.-made weapons. Where the hell are they getting these U.S.-made weapons for? So you can't say that the Russians are supplying them and whatnot, because the Russians don't use U.S.-based weapons. You can't say the Iranians are supplying them and what have, because the Iranians get their weapons from Russia. So where are these dudes getting these U.S.-made weapons from? They're getting them from your government. And they're getting them from U.S. allies who the United States has sold these weapons to. And I'm talking about Saudi Arabia. All right, they're NATO allies and whatnot. That's how ISIS has M16s and military, you know, trucks and stuff that the U.S. Army has. So, I mean, I just don't understand. Well, I do understand. I understand perfectly why so many people have fallen for this wag the dog. It's really just, if you haven't seen that movie, check it out, Wag the Dog, where they put a fake war on TV and just had the people believe in this and that and the other. So I know why most people are uninformed. And when I hear them, you know, on the radio, or I'm talking to them in person and I'm, you know, listening to them talk, I can tell exactly where their sources of information comes from. So, you know, today they're clowning Donald Trump, saying he walking back his comments. He's claiming that, you know, he was being tongue-in-cheek and what have you. But again, I stand by what I said yesterday, because I provided you with the documentation. I provided you with case numbers. And so today I've seen a number of corporate media websites talk about Donald Trump's claims have been debunked. No, they have not been debunked. He just made them. Are you saying that somebody else made the same comments before Donald Trump? But again, we have documentation created, produced by this government that shows they've been supporting them. Just like you now, just now finding out that Saudi Arabia funded some of the people who were allegedly involved in 9/11, some of these so-called plane hijackers and whatnot, being funded by the Saudis. But what? You've been lied to. And we just keep believing the lies. I don't know what is it going to take, man, for people to look. I watch it too, but I watch it with a filter. I'm watching it to see what lies they're going to tell. That's why I'm watching it. It is not a source of information. My main sources of information. You're supposed to have more than one source. And when you see that all these different outlets, whether they're online based or TV based, cable based, and they're repeating the same lie, that tells you there's a coordinated effort to feed the American public and indeed the whole wide world propaganda, lies. So I'm going to share some more documentation on that. Also, I want to briefly get into the Drug Enforcement Agency, as we talked about, you know, yesterday, concerning the video of Malia Obama at a concert in Colombia, being videoed smoking weed, and how I really didn't want to focus on that, but use that as a stepping stone to look at CEO Obama's policies as it refers to cannabis, something that he admits to using quite often. I don't know if he's using it now, but he wrote about it in his book. He did a video interview talking about it. He's even this year said that cannabis is no more dangerous than alcohol. But then yesterday, as we were talking about it, the DEA issued a ruling declaring that cannabis will remain listed as one of the most dangerous drugs on the planet with no medicinal value whatsoever. Despite all of these states that have legalized just medicinal cannabis, we're not even talking about Colorado, which has legalized recreational cannabis, but we're just talking about medicinal cannabis. All of these states that have legalized medicinal cannabis in their states, you got doctors right here in the USA writing prescriptions for cannabis to treat whatever ailment. But your government, Obama administration, despite all of the mountain of evidence, comes out and says that cannabis has no medicinal value. It's just as dangerous as heroin. It's just as dangerous as crack cocaine. It's just as dangerous as LSD. I mean, it just blows my mind. It blows my mind. It shouldn't blow my mind, because I expect these people to tell lies. I expect them to keep the system of slavery they set up going, and that's the number one tool that they use to stop people looking for cannabis, looking and sticking their nose all up in your car trying to smell it, looking all around to see if they see any cannabis in the ashtray, or, you know, that's the number one tool that they use to lock people up, to jail people, to extort money from them through fines. That is how they provide prison plantation overseers and slave catchers jobs. And so USA Inc. knows that slavery is still a pillar of its economy, and it is not going to practice justice in that area. It's just not going to do it. And again, you know, as I stated yesterday, I didn't say this yesterday, but I said it on the earlier program. I'll be so glad when CEO Obama is gone. I'm so glad when he's gone. We don't want nothing in there but straight up racist suspects and confirmed white supremacists. That's all. Because anybody else in there, melanated people being in there, it just leads to more confusion about the system for black people. That's all it's leading to. You're either going to make an excuse and say, oh, he's just a puppet on a string. He's a monkey wrench for white supremacists. They just pull him out the toolbox and they said that he can't do this, you know, and he's got to leave it in place. So he's just following orders, you know. I don't believe that. I believe he's exercising his free will. Ain't nobody forced him to run for that job. He could resign at any time. He ain't doing it. I believe he's practicing free will. He's practicing free will. Are there possibly some external factors, like, you know, people saying, well, if you do this, we won't be paying you to come give $250,000 speeches when you get out of office. We won't donate any money to your Chicago presidential library. You see how the Clintons living, don't you? Don't you want to live like the Clintons? Don't you want to get paid millions of dollars just to give a 1 hour long speech and what have you? So they could be, you know, coercing him through butter biscuits and promises of riches and what have you. It's still a choice. He's still making a choice. Still making a choice to uphold a system of injustice. So, and I don't expect anything less from a CEO of this corporation. They're going to do what's best for the corporation, not what's best for you. He is the CEO of USA Inc. All them U.S. senators, all them U.S. congressmen, they are board members of the corporation. And that is how they act. Sure, you'll get some individuals that come along like a Cynthia McKinney that does their very best to practice justice and to expose the corruption that is going on. But you see how they treated her. Her own party ran some. She was with the Democrats back then. Her own party ran somebody against her. And all the big money donors who control politics through their campaign donations gave all that money to her opponent and got him elected. Another melanated person. Another, I was about to say another black person, but, you know, he appears to be an African-American to me. Somebody who's wants to be a part of this corporation and has totally bought into it. Their identity is based on being a quote-unquote American, a citizen of a republic that don't even exist no more. This isn't a constitutional or republic. This is a corporation. All right? So, yeah, every once in a while you'll get a Cynthia McKinney come along, and then the system does everything they can to spit her out. But to her credit, she has not stopped with her activism and traveling around the world and meeting with different oppressed people. See, that's a person that practices justice. That's a person with morals. That's a person that can't be bought. So I want to hear excuses made for other people. I don't want to hear, oh, Scott, you just don't understand how the system works. I understand perfectly how the system works. I was part of that system when I was in the United States military. I've been observing this system since I was 20. Is when I really started paying attention to the people activity area of politics. When some of my buddies, when I first went into the military, who were attached to the aviation unit that I first got attached to, were being deployed to the Philippines. Then later, some of them were being deployed to Panama. And for what? To uphold the system of racism and white supremacy on a global scale. And so I start really paying attention then. So that's what's on the agenda for today. Let me go ahead and give out the phone numbers. But before I get into the topics for today, I do want to share some network news. But let me give out that phone number right now. The conference line number is 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032-pound. Anytime you would like to comment, hit *6 and 1. You can also reach us on the studio line. That is 704-951-5030. You can also use that web-based flash phone if you are on blacktalkradionetwork.com. Now, before I get into sharing some of, you know, the stuff that I've just talked about, spent 20 minutes talking about, but I'm going to share some articles with you that I have posted in our new social media community, which is community.blacktalkradionetwork.com. I'm not really had a chance to really enjoy the new network because I'm currently in the process of still installing it. While it's up and functional, I'm just in phase 2 right now. I'm just working out bugs and what have you, but it's fully functional. But I enjoy certain features of it, like when you post an event for an upcoming radio program, you can add show notes to it. You can, whatever event you post, you can add, it has two different sections, you know, the details, and then it has the part where you can post articles or other additional information. I really like that because it helped me stay organized. It's an easy way for me to organize my program using those show notes in the event section. So I'm still working on that. Identified a couple of more bugs, nothing major. The only major thing that I'm looking at right now is allowing members to upload videos. That's the only major thing that I see, and I know what the issue is. It's just a matter of making the server do what I want it to do. And it's just not doing what I want it to do right now. I mean, you can still import videos and what have you, and import content from the outside. One of the things I did do was make the default setting for the new social community as members only. Because, again, this is not a community that's like Facebook or any of these other social media networks where it's just open to anybody. No, this is a community for us, by us. Okay, and like I've long stated about the Black Talk Media Project, except for the one grant that we accepted from another nonprofit here in North Carolina to help them promote the U.S. Census. I think that was in 2010. I think, yeah, 2010. It's every 10 years they have a census. So, yeah, 2010. That's the only grant I have ever taken from an outside organization. We have been totally member-funded, or it's been funded by the services and things that I provide to some of our clients. And that's how we told. I made it a concerted point not to apply for grants from the federal government, from any of these nonprofit, like the Ford Foundation, which I read an article about. They are helping to fund Black Lives Matter. I'm not going to say that's necessarily a bad thing. I will say that for a topic next week. But I actually know some people who have participated in events funded by the Ford Foundation and what have you. But you got a whole bunch of those foundations, a bunch of rich white people who have piles of money, and, you know, they get tax breaks and whatnot by underwriting some of these things. But I made a point, you know, not to put ourselves in that position to be dependent on that sort of money, because that money always comes with strings. You could try to minimize it or whatnot, but guess what? Once you get addicted to that money and it's paying the bills and it's even paying a salary, which I can't even afford to pay myself a salary. But you get addicted to that, and then they can threaten to pull it. Oh, we don't like this project you're working on. We think that you need to go in a different direction, and we will even give you some more money to go in a different direction. But if you continue to go down this path that you're going, well, we're going to have to withdraw our financial support. I've seen it happen too many times. Too many of these organizations have been compromised in that manner, or they get addicted to the corporate underwriting. Like the Wells Fargo's, the Banks of America, that are all invested in private prisons in this country, making a profit off of modern day slavery. How can a person who's about, or organization that's about practicing justice, accept money from people like that, or corporations like that, entities like that? You can't do it. So if you're wondering why it costs $5 a month or $2 a month with a one-time payment of a subscription payment of $24 a year, that's why. So as it grows, which we hope it will, as it grows, we can then pay the people that's working on it. We can then invest in community media projects. So that's why. If you want free, although nothing in this world is free, stay on Facebook. Stay right where you at. Stay on, you know, Mark Zuckerberg. Keep rolling with him. But if you, you know, want to be about what we about, then roll with us. So those are some of the network updates. Let me just go over a couple of news items that I wanted to make sure I brought up today. It is posted in the video section of our community group. And just let me pull those up. Glad the website's loading pretty fast. That's a good sign. All right, so here's a couple of news items that I shared this morning, as I try to do every morning, share some news videos with the community. The U.S. claims no change of strategy in Syria as Turkey offers Russia to team up. Okay, that's all about what's going on with ISIS and you know, this manufactured war, which is nothing but another attempt at at regime change, you know, turning over a secular government over to a bunch of jihadists, a bunch of religious fanatics, so that in the future, you know, the military-industrial complex will always have wars to supply. This is all that they plan stuff out 10, 20, 30 years in advance. They just setting up future profits by destabilizing these regions. Sure, they got some immediate goals, but that's the long-term goal, is to keep us in perpetual war, to keep putting billions of dollars into the stockholders' pockets of these defense contractors and what have you. Next story. Clinton medical records show dementia, seizures, and depression. So that's what she been, you know, passing out over and what have you. This woman got the onset of dementia. Oh, man, she'll make a perfect puppet, wouldn't she? She won't even know, you know, what day it is or what have you. I mean, she just even now, up to me, very incompetent. I wouldn't hire her to be secretary of the for the Black Talk Media Project. Next story. Pay to play. Clinton faces corruption scandal after links between donors and foundation. Links between donors and the State Department exposed. All right, check that out. Did companies and countries, the next video, did companies and countries buy the State Department, buy State Department access by donating to the Clinton Foundation? Yes, they did. And Corrine Brown, I think that's her name, the U.S. Congresswoman, black woman, African-American woman out of Florida, she just got indicted on the same thing, saying she had a nonprofit set up and was directing funds towards it and you know, similar stuff, not exactly the same, but very similar. Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton and Chelsea Clinton, what they're doing, and all their criminal compatriots over at the Clinton Foundation, is way, 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 way more serious and corrupt and criminal than anything that Corrine Brown allegedly was doing. But again, Corrine Brown is the wrong color. See, she the wrong color. Her and Shaka Fatah, that one in Pennsylvania that just got convicted on corruption charges, see, they the wrong color. They ain't got the right skin tone to get a pass like Hillary Clinton's got a pass. See, President Obama and Loretta Lynch didn't pull no strings for them, you know, because they ain't got the connections and the money like the Clintons do. So anyway, moving on. There is a upcoming event that I do want to announce. It is posted in our event section. There is going to be a fundraiser for Black August. It is Black August. Black August is the month that has been chosen to just remember Black resistance to white supremacy in this country, and indeed globally, you know, but it really focuses on the freedom fighters who have lost their lives here in the United States, as well as the current political prisoners that we have. And so this particular Black August fundraiser is for Black Panther political prisoners, and it will be happening on August the 20th. That will be August the 20th. This month, just about 8 days from now. So you can get the details and more information. Well, I'll give you the event details right now. It'll be August the 20th from 4 to 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, remembering our political prisoners, Black August fundraiser for Panther political prisoners and the Impact Repertory Theater. All right, that will be at the Martin Luther King Labor Center at 310 West 43rd Street in New York. Just wrapped up the film festival, the hip hop film festival that one of our media partners organized and put on. It was a great success. We did have a college intern. We have one college intern that works with us through the nonprofit. They were able to attend because they live in that area, and they will be providing us with a report and what have you. So he's working on that, and so we'll probably bring him on in about a week or so he can tell us about what happened at this Black Media event. put on by black people for black people. So congratulations to Sister Charlotte Capers for a successful film festival up there in New York. All right, now, let me see. Let me get into some of the news items of the day. As soon as I come back on the other side of this station identification break, you're listening to Black Talk Radio News right here on Black Talk Radio Network. Break. Here.
No, I'm not a writer.
Okay.
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses. Okay, the first thing that I want to jump on, we'll save Donald Trump and Operation Mockingbird. If you don't haven't ever heard of Operation Mockingbird, if you have access to a search engine right now, go look it up. Go look it up. But I will be giving you information on what Operation Mockingbird was. And just because something is said to have happened in the past don't mean it ain't still going on today. Like concerning our political prisoners, COINTELPRO, that was the illegal operation run by a bunch of criminals over there at the FBI with J. Edgar Hoover, the racist, I ain't even gonna call him a suspect. He was a racist white supremacist, all right? And he was in charge of it, and they were targeting black leaders, period. They didn't care if they was part of the black liberation movement or the civil nonviolent civil rights movement. He was spying on all of them, setting them all up, and carrying out assassinations. All right, that was the COINTELPRO. There were Senate hearings in the 70s about this. Now, they still engage in those same sort of activities to this day, as the FBI has had extensive surveillance of people associated with Black Lives Matter, whether they are in the organization that bears that name or if they are part of any of the 50 organizations that operate under that label. Okay, they have been spying on them, running COINTELPRO operations, probably didn't put people in it to infiltrate it, and all of that. So that's still going on. COINTELPRO counterintelligence program never stop. Never stop. That's why we can't ever stop. Just can't. All right, so let me go ahead and pull up this story about the DEA. Yesterday, they ruled that cannabis has no medicinal value whatsoever. That's what they're saying. Despite all of these states, again, with all these doctors just writing prescriptions. All right? So if it has none of that, why aren't they rounding up these doctors that are writing cannabis prescription? Why isn't the DEA going after them? Huh? Why aren't they busting all of these legally operating in accordance to state law marijuana businesses in Colorado or wherever else they may be? Why they ain't rounding them up and busting them and shutting them down and all of that kind of stuff? Huh? Cause the people who have those businesses and most of these doctors are what? They're racist suspects. They're white. It wasn't meant to put a bunch of them into slavery. It was meant to put people who look like me into slavery. So if it has no medicinal value whatsoever and you saying this is dangerous as LSD and all of that, then why aren't you protecting the people in those states by going after those people who are writing prescriptions, who are dispensing cannabis? Why? Again, I'll tell you why. I just told you why. They ain't looking to put a bunch of white doctors into slavery. They ain't looking to put a bunch of white business owners into slavery. They looking at putting us into slavery. You got to be one of them showcase African Americans, you know, in order for you to get in on that game. That's what it appears to be. So I share information yesterday, and I'm going to reshare it today, but I brought up some articles about the corrupt Drug Enforcement Agency. I shared from RT International, U.S. government struck deal. This is coming from Russia today. U.S. government, I'm waiting on it to load. Man, y'all website's going kind of slow. U.S. government struck deal with Mexican drug cartel in exchange for information. Let me go ahead and read some of this. Between 2000, started under CEO Bush, in 2012, ended under CEO Obama, 4 years. I mean, this whole first term, that's what they were doing. The U.S. government had a deal with Mexican drug cartel Sinaloa that allowed the group to smuggle billions of dollars of drugs in return for information on its rival cartels, according to court documents published by El Universal. El Universal, this is me talking. El Universal is a Mexican national newspaper, and they did investigative report on this, okay? Because look, all the Mexicans down there getting what? Getting killed because of the U.S. imposed drug war, forcing them to keep drugs illegal, therefore empowering the cartels. Written statements made by a Drug Enforcement Administration DEA agent and a U.S. Department of Justice official in U.S. District Court of Chicago following the 2009 arrest of Jesus Vicente Zambada Niebla, son of a Sinaloa leader, Ismael El Mayo Zambada, and the organization's alleged logistics coordinator indicate that DEA agents met with top Sinaloa officials over 50 times beginning in 2000. The DEA agents met with members of the cartel in Mexico to obtain information about their rivals and simultaneously built a network of informants who signed drug cooperation agreements subject to results to enable them to obtain future benefits, including cancellation of charges in the United States. I'm gonna stop right there. I'm starting to get pissed off again. I'm starting to transform into the angry black man. But I'm looking at all the death and the destruction and the drugs flooding the streets of Chicago and these other major cities. And here it is, the U.S. government is the source. How long have we been saying this in the black community? We go back to the crack cocaine epidemic. Ain't no black folks bringing this stuff in here. Where is it coming from? And what do we find out? The CIA was facilitating so that they could raise money off the books so that they could support terrorists in South America to overthrow governments down there. Again, why do you want to identify yourself with such an evil entity as USA Inc.? You can't make this stuff up, man. I suppose one could, but I ain't making it up. But yet we sit around and we give legitimacy. We give deference to the so-called authority of these people, of this government, and this is what they're doing? How many of these people you think? Well, this isn't a particular story. Let me move on to the next story. I talked a little bit about this yesterday. Let me share some of the details in case you think Scotty was lying to you. Scotty, don't be lying to y'all. I got better things to do with my time than to come on here and tell you a bunch of lies, because I ain't trying to get a job with the Republican National Committee. I ain't trying to get a job with the Democratic National Committee. I'm not trying to get a job in corporate media. I'm not. So what reason do I have to lie to you? I'm not auditioning to be part of the propaganda weapon that's aimed against us, so I'm not gonna lie to you. There are many people who look like you, and they do it every day. They lie to you. This is a story. This comes to you from hotair.com. again, don't matter the source, long as you vet the information. But this is one of the sources that came up today when I did a search on this old article, which I already knew about. which I discussed with you, but it's on hotair.com, which is a right-wing website. It is a conservative website, but again, it don't matter the label that they're wearing. What matters is the information accurate? Let me share some of this. It says that this is a story that took place early in the year. This was published in October of 2015. This is a story that took place early in the year. So with all the water that's passed under the bridge since then, it might call for a quick refresher course. Do you remember these DEA agents who were working to foil the cartels in Colombia? Drug Enforcement Administration agents allegedly had sex parties with prostitutes. That's their word, not mine. I call them sex workers. All right, because, you know, that's just a demeaning term for people who are forced into a line of work that they otherwise wouldn't be into doing, either because somebody's making them do it or because poverty is making them sell their body. So prostitutes to me is a derogatory term. I just call them sex workers. All right. Drug Enforcement Administration agents allegedly had sex parties with sex workers hired by local drug cartels overseas over a period of several years. This wasn't no one-time event. This was over several years, according to a report released Thursday by the Justice Department's watchdog. The report did not specify the country where the parties occurred, but a law enforcement official familiar with the matter identified it as Colombia, the same country that Malia Obama was attending the Lollapalooza concert in, where she was filmed by some people looking to do her harm, smoking weed. All right. 7 of the 10 DEA agents alleged to have participated in the gatherings, most of which took place at an agent's quarters leased by the U.S. government, admitted to having attended the parties, the report found. So this is even from the Department of Justice. The agents, some of whom had top secret security clearances, received suspensions of 2 to 10 days. That's all, people. They broke the law. They was down there breaking the law. Isn't sex trafficking illegal? Isn't that illegal here in the United States? Okay. Don't ask me if it's legal in Colombia. But here these guys are having sex with these women. I'm assuming it was women, but having sex with these women. I hope it wasn't no children. Having these sex parties funded by the very people they supposed to be busting, right? To stop all the drugs from getting into the United States so little Johnny doesn't get hooked on heroin. Or it doesn't get hooked on, you know, get hooked on cocaine and all of that kind of stuff. And this here, you got the United States government and various agencies partnering with the drug cartels. But yet our jails and our prisons are full of our family members. Over nonviolent drug convictions. When this is what the very government who put them there is engaged in. Again, they ain't trying to stop no drugs from coming into this country. If they didn't have the drugs coming into this country, they wouldn't be able to get money to run their illegal, to pay for their illegal activities, like, you know, the CIA does, as I mentioned earlier, during the Reagan administration, how they were funding the death squads after they trained them at the School of America. So they changed the name. It's down there at Fort Benning, Georgia, Army base. They want to keep, you know, slave catchers employed on the streets of America. They want to keep plantation overseers employed on the prison plantations of America. And they can't do that if they stop the drugs. Which you can't anyway. Anything anybody wants, they are going to get, because there's a financial incentive to it. You can get anything you want if you got the money. So this is why I say we need a new corporation. We need a new republic. We need to dissolve this corporation. Yesterday, it rules that cannabis has no medicinal value despite a mountain of scientific evidence. And then this is what the DEA has been engaged in for the past almost 20-something years, right? We're four years away from 2020. So if this started in 2000, and just because they're telling you that this particular deal they had with the Sinaloa cartel ended in 2012, don't believe that. Don't believe that. They got found out, and they're telling you, oh, well, I haven't even heard CEO Obama speak on this. Have y'all? I haven't. I didn't hear him say the law is for those who break it, and these DEA agents down there taking advantage of their position, engaging in human trafficking, sex trafficking, and working with these drug cartels, we're going to, you know, hold them fully accountable. The law is for those who break it, and we're a nation of law and order, and this is disorder, and it will lead to chaos. No, you ain't hear no crap like that. You ain't hear nothing of the sort. So excuse me if I, you know, get angry at all of this injustice, man. I mean, it's right there in your face. How can you not be unless you're closing your eyes to it? I just can't get comfortable with this sort of thing. I can't be ambivalent to it. I can't, man. I have to be passionate about this. I have to get this information out there to the people to let them know what's going on, man. Next time I hear somebody talk, what about black on black crime? Well, look at who's causing the crime that's going on in Chicago. You think they only bringing drugs to Chicago? Hell no. Guns too. People ask the question, where is all this stuff coming from? Well, they telling you it's being reported on. It's just not being reported on the propaganda channels that you use as your main source of information. I tell you, in terms of marijuana research, I posted in the events notes section a link to medicalmarijuana.procon.org. I actually made a video posted to YouTube about this over a year ago, maybe almost 2 years ago, I'm not sure. Anyway, on this website, you will find 60 peer-reviewed studies on medical marijuana. Medical studies involving cannabis and cannabis extracts from 1990 to 2014. Let me read some of this. Peer-reviewed studies on medical marijuana listed by condition treated. ALS. Pro. They got it listed in pro and con, meaning that, you know, it showed that it was effective or it was not effective. So, bipolar disorder, cancer, glaucoma, HIV/AIDS, Huntington's disease, IBD, Crohn's disease, multiple sclerosis, nausea, pain, Parkinson's disease, PTSD, psychosis, schizophrenia, rheumatoid arthritis, Tourette syndrome. So it did. There were like 60 studies that they shared. Those right there were turned out to be about 41 studies that showed cannabis to be effective in treating these ailments, not curing them, but treating them. Instead of getting you hooked on the Oxycontin to then when they take it away, now you're out there on the street looking for a heroin dealer. Get some of that good Afghan heroin that's being grown right now in Afghanistan, being protected by U.S. military troops. I reported on that too. So again, this is why I don't respect any part of this government. None. Well, you know, the U.S. Post Office, that's about it. I don't think the U.S. Post Office is harming anyone. Okay, I think they're just really engaged in delivering packages. But all the rest of the government agencies, man, who knows what manner of evil they are engaged in. So here's the DEA making a non-scientific ruling. DEA is part of the Obama administration. CEO Obama signed off on it. Didn't have a problem with it. Okay. So those are the information that I wanted to share with you related to the cannabis. I'm going to take a short break. And then when we come back, I want to get into, again, Donald Trump's comments calling CEO Obama, the founder of ISIS, and former Secretary of USA Inc., Hillary Clinton, their MVP. As I stated yesterday, there is some truth in his comments. And as I expected, because I was watching and I asked you to watch, if you were listening yesterday, watch how the mainstream media reports on this. They're going to act like this is just crazy conspiracy nonsense, and they, you know, are not going to tell you about the government's own documents that came out through Freedom of Information Act lawsuits. This show they are. Been supporting them. Did he go and found it? Like the Washington Post, for example, had a ridiculous, I mean, it was just so stupid. They were taking it literal. Like Donald Trump meant that CEO Obama traveled to Syria and founded ISIS. That, now, come on. That's how I'm looking for the proper words here. That's just how full of crap they were. And to get you to believe that this is just a crazy conspiracy theory. There ain't no way Obama went over there. It was really founded by Al-Qaeda, second in command, and he gave his blessings and all this. That's how they was reporting it, all right? Manipulating your mind and not telling you about these documents that I told you about yesterday. And I will be sharing more information about that on the other side. Again, if you have any questions or comment, give us a call, 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032-pound. Hit *6 and 1 to comment on air. The studio line is 704-951-5030. I do want to remind you about the ongoing crowdfunding black media campaign that will be going on perpetually, you know, unless Scotty hit the lottery for about $500 million or something like that, and then I can fund everything myself. But it will be going on perpetually, and you know, we got some donations that came in over the past couple of days, and I just want to say thank you to those people, because we would not be, if you did not invest, we would not be here. I'm not a rich man. I have time to give, you know, but I don't have a lot of money to sink into this. You know, I still have a family. I still have a responsibility to my family. So I would be negligent if I sank most of my resources into these platforms and not taking care of home. So I can't do it by myself. And I appreciate all of those who are supporting the media operations of the North Carolina-based nonprofit Black Talk Media Project. We will be back on the other side. Want to kick real quick some music from Sincere Nokwari from the God Life Beast album. And we'll be back on the other side.
Jails in America are being privatized, and they are on the stock exchange. And you don't build a hotel unless you expect occupancy. So when they're building prisons, they want to build them, but they're building them for you.
I look around this room, and I see nothing but untapped potential. You have potential. You
But now they've got to create a culture in the community that lends to violence, crime, drugs, guns, prostitution, and it's a steady pipeline to prison. Atlantic Records. See, these are the real safeties. They have to be exposed, brothers. You rap, and in your rap, there's a beef with another rapper. And you get real, you know, fiery about it. And you're talking about drilling down.
Around this room, and I see nothing but untapped potential. You have potential. You have.
You want to kill your brother. So that's the kind of rap you're doing. And then the radio stations are complicit. Because if you make something clean, they don't want to play it. So when you come to the record executives with something clean, but it's got a good beat, hey, that's nice, but see if you keeping it real. And keeping it real means keeping it as it is so that it will never change. Expensive cars, but your brothers and sisters are dying on your words. And you are aiding in the conspiracy to exterminate the black male. You got to know that at the highest levels of government, they've plotted our demise.
Oh, boy.
And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. Scotty Reed on this broadcast from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. I really do dig that track from Sincere Inquiry, God Life Beats. That's from the Beat Tape Lectures, volume number one. Go to sincereinquiry.com to check out and purchase some of his music. Certainly he has been a supporter of this network, and so we got to support each other, people. We got to support each other. But getting back to some of the things, I mean, that was a perfect clip to follow up, you know, the DEA ruling. You know, they got to keep the prison plantation full, man. And then also the media, which we're about to talk about, how the media's lying to you, like the U.S. government has no role in supporting these terrorist groups to overthrow whatever country they want to point them at. All right. And so, you know, you heard Minister Louis Farrakhan talking about rap music in the words, talking about all this killing, drug dealing, and, you know, treating your women like pieces of meat. And look, that's the media propaganda operation. Look, media is a tool of warfare. Propaganda is a tool of warfare. Propaganda, media, they're interchangeable. All propaganda is in some kind of form of media. So, but this is why it's important. You know, I appreciate the work of Clear the Airways Project, Rage Against the Ratchet, and organizations like that that's attempting to clean up the public airwaves. I'm not talking about the stuff that people pay for on satellite, and, you know, because they pretty much don't have any kind of restrictions. But the public airwaves, FCC license radio stations in your community with black people on there, or African Americans on there, you know, presenting you with the programming. I appreciate the work that those brothers and sisters are doing, and it's much needed, and you should do that. But at the same time, though, we should be building our own alternative radio stations, whether it's music, whether it's news talk like this station. Well, we do share music with you on this station, but we actually have a music station called Message Music. That is what that is the vision of the Black Talk Media Project, to have brick and mortar buildings in these communities running media operations targeting those communities to provide a counter to the white supremacist propaganda that is aimed at destroying our communities. I tell you, man, Malcolm X knew what he was talking about. I don't know if he had done some study on the effects of media, or if it's just he had an epiphany and it just came to him, you know. But he was dead right about it. So let's move on. Before I move on to the next story, let me pick up this call from area code 561. Thank you for joining us today. What's on your mind?
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for having me. I was just listening in on what you were saying about white racism propaganda in the communities and how it's, you know, destroying the communities. Exactly how is white racism affecting the community?
Can you rephrase the question?
You said, I guess, white racism is affecting the black community and is keeping, you know, black people down. Exactly how is white racism keeping the community down?
Can you be more specific? I mean, if you've been listening to the program, you know I've been talking about media. I've been telling you how the radio stations play only certain types of media that programs the minds of the masses to engage in self-destructive behavior. I've also been telling you about how corporate media, news media, lies to you about the worldwide events and the things that they are engaged in. So, I mean, I can't...
Yes, sir, are you saying, sir, that it's more so on black people themselves for this destructive behavior, or it's more prone because of the media to why they act and react in that type of manner?
Let's break it down and simplify it. Okay. You talking about entertainment media or news media? I'm assuming you're talking about...
Yes, sir. News media. Yes, sir.
Okay, now say the question again, related to news media. What was your question?
Yes, sir. The way, are you saying the way that blacks are acting, they don't really act a lot by propaganda from the media that projects a small portion of black people in the news media that makes, that tends to make them look like, you know, a barbarian or animalistic in that type of way? Because I don't know how else to rephrase a question. I'm off of what you said. I mean, with, you know, the you're white saying, propaganda.
Yeah, you're saying a whole lot. You're kind of all over the place. But there, I would just direct you, sir, to the many media studies that have been done that shows the influence on the minds of the media. First of all, I never paint any group with a broad brush. I know that the vast majority of black people are not engaged in drug dealing. They're not engaged in shooting other black people. They're not engaged in any kind of criminal behavior. But in those communities where we do see that type of behavior, outside of the factors like, you know, no real education, support for education, they're closing many of the schools. They're not teaching our children to be critical thinkers, but teaching them to be conformists to the system, to go make somebody else some money. In terms of the entertainment media, it's all violent, all promoting all of this garbage. I know people, I actually interview people on this program last week. You know, we had on Paul Porter, who spent 40 years working in mainstream radio, who has now launched his own low power FM radio station in Florida, and talking about how the music industry will turn. I've even interviewed artists, because I know artists. I know one particular, she lives in Germany now, but she used to live in Charlotte. She was a protege of Chuck D, a Public Enemy, and she had a record deal with Universal Records, and they tried to get her to wear less clothing, you know, to expose herself and to tone down the consciousness in her music. When she refused to do it, they canceled her deal. I talked to a rapper out of Florida who told me the same thing. When he was singing gangster rap, it was all well and fine. When he had a change in his consciousness and no longer wanted to engage in that type of lyrical content, they canceled his contract as well. So again,
okay, sir. Can I? I'm so sorry. I'm just going to respectfully disagree.
That's fine.
The comment that I, the only reason why I asked a question is a comment that I was trying to get to is, I think the great black disparity really has nothing to do with media. Really has nothing to do with white male privilege. Back then, during Jim Crowism and the antebellum South, yes, those things were prevalent. They were real. Nowadays, it has been reverted. It has changed. There are no unconstitutional laws that are depriving black people from, you know,
Excuse me, sir. All right. I've entertained that enough. I just can't. So to prevent me from turning into the angry black guy and what have you, you know, you are just terribly misinformed. If you think racism and white supremacy as a system ended during so-called Jim Crow days, you haven't read the Department of Justice's Ferguson report. You have not read the Department of Justice's Baltimore report that just came out this week, okay? You are just totally ignoring a mountain of evidence. All right. This isn't, I don't speak about what I feel. If I am coming up with a theory, I let the listeners know this is what I think. Based on the evidence, this is what I think. I don't have any concrete, you know, smoking guns to point you to, but when we gather all of this evidence and we put it in a pile, what do they call it in the court? Circumstantial evidence. There is plenty of not only concrete evidence, but circumstantial evidence. I just sat up there and gave you a story about the DEA smuggling, working with drug cartels to smuggle dope into Chicago But yet you want to claim that any ill, and that's what you're doing, any ill that black people are facing is all of their own doing. Okay? I'm just not going to entertain that nonsense. I'm going to go on to the next caller, area code 414. Thank you for calling in. What's on your mind?
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Brother Scotty, this is Brother Rod chiming in from Milwaukee, the place where they lock up the most black males in the United States.
In the world, president. I would say.
Damn near, right? But, you know, I was listening, and that last caller made me chime in. And it's funny because me and my lady was just talking about a certain group of black people that, you know, believe in the system. Like if a person go to college, accumulate quote unquote wealth, may own a home, vehicle, and things like that, they feel that they have reached their status and they don't want to give that up. But I'll just point to what's his name? Henry Louis Gates Jr., the one that be connecting people to their ancestry or whatever like that.
Yes, Professor Gates.
And got what they describe on Boondocks as his nigger moment. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes. And, when you know, he got arrested in his own house. Yeah.
They'll be all fine and dandy until, you know, that they realize that they just like the rest of us. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But I did want to point to a few things specifically.
Yes,
that he said. He described white male privilege.
I never said that, white male privilege. Did I ever say white male privilege? Did you ever hear me?
I'm addressing the caller, Brother Scotty.
Yeah, I know you are. I'm just saying that you got the same thing. You took the same note in your mind that I took. And I just didn't get to it because I wanted to get him off the air before I turned into the angry black man.
Yeah.
You know, but I never said white privilege. So, I said white supremacy.
No, he said, right, he said that. And I feel that he was putting, like, you know, a certain energy out there. And I just want to bring the energy back, man, to where you had it. And white male privilege, I don't think is accurate. I think white power and or white supremacy is a more adequate term, accurate. And as far as laws, he said there's no laws, you know, quote unquote, keeping black people back. If you look at the 13th Amendment, which you constantly talk about on this program and New Abolitionist Radio, there is laws that is, quote unquote, keeping black people back and or down. And I would also like to point to the systematic liquor stores that's placed in all of these communities, one on every corner. Also, the redlining that was conducted against black people, keeping them out of certain areas. And that's how you have all white neighborhoods. And also, the last thing I would like to point to, a book that was written by Harriet A. Washington called Medical Apartheid, which documents the medical experimentation on black people from past up until present day. Thank you for taking the call, and I'll mute my line.
And thank you for bringing up the very important point, because he used the word constitutional, he used the word laws and what have you, and the 13th Amendment, which he may not have ever read or didn't comprehend what he was reading, if he has read the 13th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. And it might even be in the state constitution in whatever state he's living in. Because we did over a year's period, every week we looked at all 50 states to see what their constitution said about slavery. So this is what the 13th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, the supreme law of the land, says. Slavery and involuntary servitude shall be abolished except, remember, that's the key operating word, that's the action verb right there, except for punishment for crime. I'm gonna tell you what a white supremacist who the conservatives look at her as a goddess. And I got many problems with this woman, but I'm like Malcolm X. I'm for the truth no matter who tell it. And she says the only power that governments have is to crack down on criminals. And when there aren't enough criminals, one simply makes them. I would point to Richard Nixon's comments as relayed to us by one of his former chiefs of staff, that when they launched the drug war, which created the Drug Enforcement Administration in the 1970s, he said, we got to figure out a way to target the blacks without seeming like we're targeting the blacks. He also named the anti-war hippies, too, that smoking all that weed. We got to target them. All right. So, I mean, any person who has done some research, has read a few books, has read the Constitution, has paid attention to history, and not just watching CNN, MSNBC, or listening to Oprah Winfrey and these other showcase blacks and what have you, then, you know, they wouldn't come on Black Talk Radio News coming out their mouth like that. Must be a first-time listener. You are welcome to listen. It's okay to disagree. It's okay to disagree. But I can only stand so much nonsense, though, because I start turning to the angry black man. When I sit up there and provide you with documentation, I point you to articles, I name names, I share all of this with you, and you still come on these airwaves talking like that? That tells me that the only thing you interested in is disrupting. It's being a disruption to the flow of information that we're feeding to the people. Let me move on to the next caller. That will be another area code 561. Go ahead with your question or comment.
No, sir. This is the same one. I stayed on the air listening to
you. Oh, okay. That's cool. You can hang out, but let
me
move on.
If you give me a chance.
Let me move on. Excuse me.
I'm not trying to.
Okay, sir. Excuse me. We try to have some order to this program. I know sometimes it seems like it's chaotic, but there's another person who is waiting to speak. And I do have some more segments to get to. Area code 561, your line is unmuted. Go ahead with your question or comment.
Hey, Scotty, what's going on, man? It's Sam from 561 area code. How you doing today, man?
I'm doing the best I can under these conditions.
I hear you. And I so appreciate you about the snapping to the angry black man. You know where I stand, Scotty. I feel like at the end of the day, that's what it's going to take, because you keep getting all this lip service, this veiled, like the caller, I feel that was like veiled facetiousness. Like he was being facetious, but like, you know, bringing up all these points and other stuff and just nonsense, getting away from the issue. Man, it's real. You calling in, you listening to the show, either you know it's real or you calling to disrupt, like you said. So, you know where I stand. I'm sitting over here on my line like, yes, got to get to him. Please get to him. So, I just want to call in, man, tell you thank you. Keep doing what you're doing, and I'll mute my line. Thanks, guys.
All right. Appreciate you, Sin. You be safe down there, brother. All right. So
Q&A queue is cleared.
Let me go ahead and clear the caller's queue. Anybody wants to chime in after I go through some more information about Donald Trump? And so, you know, really the person sound like a black Republican. That's what I hear come from black conservatives and things of that nature. You know, like the man up there in Milwaukee County, Wisconsin, Sheriff David A. Clark, who said that the racism, ain't no racism in policing. They got done away with in the 1960s. And, of course, they featured him as a speaker at the Republican National Convention. So that's who you sound like, bro. I've heard it all before. I've been doing this too long. I've heard it all before. And I don't have the patience to be going in circles, man. I just don't. I don't have the patience for buckets and buckets of words to confuse people. The information is the information. Either you accept it or you don't. We welcome everybody to tune in. We ain't got no control over who tunes in and whatnot. But if you're going to challenge any information, I can't speak for the other host on this network, but if you're going to challenge any information that I'm putting out, you better come with some facts, man. You better come with some facts. And the fact is, slavery was never abolished. Go read the 13th Amendment. Do that for us right now. Go read the 13th Amendment. And then you tell me if slavery was ever abolished in this country or if they transformed it. Now, I'm going to tell you now, we've been studying this for 3 years now and doing a weekly radio program where we bring on, not, it's just not us, a bunch of brothers on the you know, airwaves, just saying what they feel and whatnot. No, we're sharing facts. We're bringing on attorneys and lawyers, law professors. Up there in Minnesota, we've had on the attorney of the year for the state of Minnesota, Nakimi Levy Pounds. You might have seen her on mainstream media. We got her on this network, on podcast, on audio recording, telling you the 13th Amendment did not abolish slavery. These are lawyers. These are attorneys. And then again, just because they have these degrees and they went to school don't mean nothing. It don't mean nothing. I don't put too much stock in titles. I don't put too much stock in diplomas. I'm not anti-education or anything like that. But that don't impress me. I don't need a person with a degree, a law degree, to validate my interpretation of the 13th Amendment. I mean, damn, it's in 12th grade English. Anybody should be able to understand that. But again, getting to the importance of why we need to watch, if we're going to watch CNN, if we're going to watch MSNBC, if we're going to listen to NPR or any of these other radio networks, we better be listening with a filter. We better be filtering out the white supremacist propaganda that you're going to be fed. And you also better know that you're going to be fed lies and half truths. Now, yesterday, we talked about, is there any basis in truth of what Donald Trump said about President Obama, CEO of USA Inc., founding ISIS? Or is Hillary Clinton ISIS's MVP, most valuable player? Now, he's saying he was just being sarcastic, but it is based in reality. It is based on government documents that they have been supporting these terrorist groups. Let me go to some of the information, some of the articles that I pulled up. But again, I told people I gave you a homework assignment yesterday. I shared the clip from CNN and how they were reporting it. No fact checking, no nothing. Nothing. So this is how the Washington Post is reporting it, and they actually changed the headline. Here is the original headline. With rare humility, Trump concedes he could come up short. Now, if I click on that, it's going to take me to, they didn't change the damn title again. Man, they've changed it again. How many? This is the third change. Again, this is the Washington Post. Millions of people go to the Washington Post. They look at them as a reliable source of information, a credible source of information. They can't make up their damn headline of which one they gonna use. Now, this is what they saying now. It's the media's fault. That's out of context. Never said it in the first place. Donald Trump's claim Friday that he was merely being sarcastic and accusing President Barack Obama of establishing a terrorist group was his latest attempt to blame others for the uproar over what he says. It's an instinct that Trump's opponents say a president can't possess. So, yeah, you got to be able to stay on script, man. You got to be able to lie to the people and lie convincingly. You can't be a half-ass liar, even though he's not lying about this. Some Republicans seem to have the same concern. Look, let me put this out there. There are so many Republicans, mostly neoconservatives, that are supporting Hillary Clinton right now that you should not be surprised by this. You should not, because they know she is tried and true. Okay, they know she is down for empire. They know that there is no criminal act she's willing, not willing to commit in order to push the agenda of USA Inc., the corporate agenda of USA Inc. So anyway, that when you hear about Republicans criticizing Donald Trump, that's because they supporting Hillary Clinton. They've been down with her for years. All right. This time it followed 2 days of critical headlines and Democratic outrage over Trump's claim that Obama was the quote unquote founder of the Islamic State. As Trump repeated the claim more than a dozen times, interviewers sought to ensure Trump wasn't being misconstrued. Surely they offered he meant Obama's policies had enabled the extremist groups rise. No, I meant he's the founder of ISIS. I do, Trump said, using one acronym for the group. Let's see. Then in About Face Friday, they don't get sarcasm, he tweeted. Or was he being sarcastic about the sarcasm? Hours later, he told a rally, okay, that's enough. That's enough. Let me just scan it because I am a speed reader. Let me just scan it to see if they bring up anything about the Freedom of Information Act request that came out through the lawsuit filed by the right-wing group Judicial Watch. Again, I don't care the source of the documents. Well, I do. The source of the documents is the U.S. government. They just sued to get them released. So don't come at me with, oh, this is just a right-wing conspiracy attack against the CEO Obama, and they just hate him because he's black and all that. No, no, no. We're talking about, it, as far as I'm concerned, once you step into the role of CEO of USA Inc. or any of those federal positions, you cease to be black to me. You are, in fact, the only colors I'm associating with you are red, white, and blue. I don't see color when I'm looking at these politicians and what they do. So anyway, they never bring it up. They never bring it up. They never bring up any of this stuff. It's just a bucket and buckets of words that don't get to anything. To the underlying question is, did President Obama, CEO of USA Inc., start ISIS? Now, obviously, the man did not travel overseas and had a organizational meeting and sat down with some and founded ISIS. No, that ain't what I'm saying. And that ain't what he was saying at first. But again, understand that Donald Trump is playing a role. This isn't a real presidential election. He's really not trying to win. Okay. This is the only person who is probably more disliked than Hillary Clinton in order for them to make it look like a credible election when she gets installed. If you're going to vote, you should be voting locally. You should be voting for the local politics that's going on where you are, because that's what's most directly going to impact you the most. In terms of the federal government, unless you got a person like a Cynthia McKinney running and all this and that, well, pick your poison. Pick your poison. Pick your poison. I'm not telling you not to vote, but pick your poison. Just pick your poison. Because the whole damn system is corrupt and need to be scrapped. So all Donald Trump is doing is carrying out the plan that was probably hatched on the golf course with Bill Clinton to go and play this racist buffoon. Well, he don't have to play racist, but y'all get what I'm saying. And make it easy for her. This man ain't got to where he is being that incompetent. He just hasn't. He's playing a role. He's a TV actor. He's playing a role. But they never brought up any of the stuff. So let me bring up some of the stuff. Now, I don't have to go to non-mainstream media to prove my point, but I'm just going to take you to TheGuardian.com, which is one of the major corporate newspapers in the UK, the United Kingdom, also known as Britain. This was published on June 3rd, in 2015. Now the truth emerges, how the U.S. fueled the rise of ISIS in Syria and Iraq. Let me just share some of this with you. The War on Terror, that campaign without end launched 14 years ago by George Bush, is tying itself up in ever more grotesque contortions. On Monday, the trial in London of a Swedish man, Berlin Gildo, accused of terrorism in Syria collapsed After it became clear, British intelligence had been arming the same rebel groups the defendant was charged with supporting. The prosecution abandoned the case, apparently to avoid embarrassing the intelligence services. The defense argued that going ahead with the trial would have been an affront to justice when there was plenty of evidence the British state was itself providing extensive support to the armed Syrian opposition. That didn't only include the non-lethal assistance boasted of by the government, including body armor and military vehicles, but training, logistical support, and a secret supply of arms on a massive scale. Reports were cited that MI6 cooperated with the CIA on a rat line of arms transfers from Libyan stockpiles to the Syrian rebels in 2012 after the fall of the Gaddafi regime. Now, the Gaddafi government, the Libyan government, did not fall. It was overthrown. Why was it overthrown? So that they could get weapons from Libya and transfer them to the terrorists that they using to overthrow Syria. Regime change. Now look at Libya, a secular government, the most prosperous government in Africa, or nation in Africa, that was using its wealth from its natural resources to lift all boats in Africa. I talked about some of the things he did yesterday. I think Brother Dave on Tando Radio Show, not that I think, I remember him doing at least two shows talking about all the good things that Gaddafi was doing for Libya and Africa in general. And another reason they took it out, the reason France had reason to take it out, is because Gaddafi was proposing a gold-backed currency for all of Africa, which would immediately put them on top as super world power status, because they got all the natural resources. The United States government steals resources, and they stole the Libyan gold. That's why that happened. And so as you can see, as far back as 2015, there are even corporate media reports about how the United States government, along with its criminal allies, like the Queen of England and their intelligence services, were doing what? Supporting ISIS. Supporting al-Nusra, supporting the Free Syrian Army, and all of that garbage. Let me continue. Clearly, the absurdity of sending someone to prison for doing what ministers and their security officials were up to themselves became too much. See, now I'm thinking about all of the, and I don't mean this in a derogatory way because they're victims, all right? But I'm thinking now of all the useful idiots, and that's a term, useful idiots that thought ISIS was for real and said, I'm going to do this terrorist act here in the United States on the behalf of ISIS and pledging allegiance to ISIS and posting your little black flags on your Facebook profile and all that. And you know what? And then you got arrested for what? Providing material support. Oh, you didn't even have to send no money. All you had to do was express support for them. And you got arrested and you got prosecuted and your ass is in prison right now, even though the very government that prosecuted you and put you in the prison is supporting the very same damn people. Welcome to my world, the world of reality that's not based on fiction. That's not based on the lies of the propaganda machines. Every once in a while, you can glean, or else I wouldn't watch it, period. But every once in a while, they'll share some half-truths with you. They may even share a truth or two with you. But you got to dig for it. You got to be listening for it. And so here we have The Guardian, one of the most read papers in the UK, reporting that not only was their government supporting terrorists in Syria, but the U.S. government as well. Now, they're talking about the CIA. That's what happened when the ambassador got killed in Libya. That's what he was doing at that consulate. That wasn't at the official U.S. embassy. No, he was facilitating the transfer of these weapons that they were stealing from Libya after they murdered Gaddafi. Let me continue with this article. Clearly, the absurdity of sending someone to prison for doing what ministers and their security officials were up to themselves became too much. But it's only the latest of a string of such cases. Less fortunate was a London cab driver, Anas Sadar, who was given a life sentence a fortnight earlier for taking part in 2007 in resistance to the occupation of Iraq by U.S. and British forces. Armed opposition, an illegal invasion, and occupation clearly doesn't constitute terrorism or murder on most definitions, including the Geneva Convention. To be honest with you, I'm surprised that this is the first time I'm reading this article. I'm surprised that they're being so damn truthful in the corporate media. I don't know how they slipped this one through. But terrorism is now squarely in the eye of the beholder. And nowhere is that more so than in the Middle East, where today's terrorists are tomorrow's fighters against tyranny and allies are enemies, often at the bewildering whim of a Western policymaker's conference call. For the past year, U.S., British, and other Western forces have been back in Iraq, supposedly in the cause of destroying the hyper-sectarian terror group Islamic State, formerly known as Al-Qaeda in Iraq. And we all know who started Al-Qaeda. Just ask Ronald Reagan if you can find a medium that can call his dead spirit up. This was after ISIS overran huge chunks of Iraqi and Syrian territory and proclaimed a self-styled Islamic caliphate. So it goes on. It's a pretty long article, but let me see if there was anything else I supported. I posted in support of what I'm bringing you. This is coming to you from the dailybeast.com. This was published yesterday. Guess what? The Obama administration, when I say the Obama administration, I'm talking about the executive branch of the U.S. government. That's the Obama administration, all right? The military, the federal law enforcement, the prisons, the federal prison, all of that is under the executive branch of the USA Inc. So that's when I say the Obama administration, that's what I'm talking about, all right? If I was talking about something Congress did, I would say Congress. If I was talking about the SCOTUS, the Supreme Court, I would say the Supreme Court ruled such and such. All right. So, but this came out yesterday. Guess what? Senators and Congress people are being lied to about what's going on in Syria. All right. It goes on to say, it says, two new congressional reports conclude senior military officials skewed information about the war to make it look like it was going better. The unanswered question is why. I can answer that question right now, because they supporting those who they claim to be fighting. Okay. So do you know when we hear on the news that they bombing ISIS, you don't know who the hell they bombing. You don't even know if that's stock footage from the Pentagon. You don't know, do you? You don't really, really, we don't. But that's the why. That's why. Why are they fudging these intelligence reports to Congress? Because they don't want Congress to know that they funding and arming ISIS. That's why they lying to Congress. Hillary Clinton was asked by Rand Paul, the Kentucky senator, if they had transferred some weapons or gave some funding to ISIS, and she sat up there and lied about it. She straight up lied. So, I mean, that's not surprising. But anyway, it goes on. It says, senior officials at U.S. Central Command manipulated intelligence reports, press statements, and congressional testimony. That means they lied to Congress to present a more positive outlook on the war against the so-called Islamic State. A House Republican task force concluded in a damning report released Thursday. But to see again, because most of the masses, not talking about individuals, but I'm talking about the masses in general, all right, that are caught up in the Republican versus Democrat gang. That's what, when they see, oh, the House Republicans issue that report, they will automatically dismiss it without even reading the damn report. That's how they got our minds messed up in this country. Everybody. Now, I'm not talking about black people specifically on this instance. I'm talking about everyone. The report written by the members of the House Armed Services and Intelligence Committee committees and the Defense Appropriations Subcommittee confirmed more than a year of reporting by the Daily Beast about problems with CENTCOM analysis of the war against ISIS. House Democrats, who conducted their own separate investigation, reached a similar conclusion. So y'all Democrats out there, will y'all take a look at it now, since some House Democrats came to the same conclusion that the Defense Department, the Pentagon, whatever you want to call it, the Obama administration is lying about what's going on in Iraq and Syria? Will y'all take a look at it now? All right, let me continue. House Democrats, who conducted their own separate investigation, reached a similar conclusion as their Republican colleagues, finding that CENTCOM insufficiently accommodated dissenting views. Representative Adam Schiff, the top Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee, said in a statement, "The altering of intelligence reports, which included information that made its way into briefings to President Obama, was systemic," lawmakers found. Okay, Obama bots, y'all got a built-in excuse. They've been lying to Obama. They've been feeding him false intelligence reports. So you got a legitimate excuse right there why this man don't seem to know his head from his ass. All right. You got an excuse now. They've been feed the white supremacists in the defense intelligence services been feeding this man doctored intelligence reports, not giving a damn if he go out there and sound like an ass, not knowing what the hell he talking about. All right, there was a consistent trend that across four specific campaigns against ISIS and Iraq throughout 2014 and 2015, assessments approved by the J2, that is CENTCOM's Joint Intelligence Center, or leadership, were consistently more positive than those presented by the intelligence community, the report found. The lawmakers noted, for instance, that the CIA publicly portrayed ISIS as more resilient and powerful organization than CENTCOM's analysis, which has not been publicly suggested. Maybe they meant share. So, again, I'm going to stop it right there. CIA was funding. We just read in 2015 from the article from 2015, CIA was armed using Libyan weapons that after they assisted terrorists to overthrow Libya, then took their stockpiles of weapons and transferred them to the terrorists. Okay, so I don't expect any truth to come from these people, period. If you do get some truth, it's because somebody filed a lawsuit or somebody hacked somebody and WikiLeaks or one of these hacker groups released the information. So again, you're being lied to, man. The United States government has a long history of funding and arming these terrorist groups so that they can implement their white supremacist global agenda. Now, that might be confusing when I say that about white supremacy to the person that's calling, cause black, that called earlier, because President Obama, ain't he black? Ain't he melanated African American for real? Like his father's really from Africa and all that? Look, again, like I said, when I look at them people, it's red, white, and blue. That's the color I see. All right. I see the chief executive officer of the United States government. But to break it down, though, for you further, I came up with a term about a year or so ago called proxy racism. That is when black people or African Americans, whichever label you prefer, assist the system of racism and white supremacy so that they can have a comfortable life in the system. They do it for greed. They do it because, you know, they're cowards. A number of reasons they could be doing it. They're cowards. They don't want to practice justice. They'd rather just go along to stay alive. So to me, if you ain't willing to die, you don't have no right to even be seeking a leadership position. You ain't no leader if you ain't prepared to give your life for the truth, for justice. If you scared, then stay your ass home. This is not a fight for the weak at heart. This ain't a fight for cowards, because you will lose. When you practice justice, you will experience some personal losses. Not too greatly, I hope, but you will experience them. But you know what? The things that I lost, I don't really look at as I lost anything when I lost that corporate job, because I gave a deposition against the vice president when he was sexually harassing black women, preying on black women, and one of the black women didn't appreciate it, filed a lawsuit, gave him my number and said, call Scotty, he witnessed this and that and the other, and give him a call. I could have said, hell no, I don't know what she's talking about. I'm trying to keep my little supervisor position making $40,000 a year. I'm not trying to lose my butt biscuits for this woman. Hell, I ain't never even slept with her or nothing like that. So what the hell, you know? So, but I did, I practiced justice. I did what was required of me to practice justice, and I ended up losing that job. But I did not lose. I gained. I gained, because then I went on ahead and I just had the attitude that, you know what, I'm tired of working for these racist crackers. I'm tired of working for these proxy racists, and I'm going to start a company, a nonprofit company, doing what I like to do. And I will do other means to support myself and family. Engage in other acts of entrepreneurialism. And so I didn't lose anything. What I gained was my independence, and I gained, well, not that I never had any self-respect, but my self-respect was bolstered. I can look back at that period and hold my head up high and not hang it down in shame and say, you's a weak-ass punk motherfucker who sat up there and let them crackers prey on them black women, and when you was called to assist her in the very least way you could have assisted her, you turned her down. So I didn't lose anything. I gained. So anyway, Republicans and Democrats agree CENTCOM cooked the ISIS war intel. So again, Donald Trump is a clown. Donald Trump is playing a role. He's there to make it that much easier for you to hold your nose and cast a vote for one of the most evilest white supremacist, racist women on the planet, Hillary Clinton. I mean, that woman, her soul is, I mean, I would say she probably is possessed by all kind of demons, for real. When I saw her laughing at getting the news of Gaddafi's brutal murder at the hands of them jihadists that they just used to overthrow Libya, that were out there yelling Allah Akbar and shooting their weapons in the air as they were brutalizing the corpse of, and then she, you know, got word of that and she started laughing, and I mean, just it came right from her evil ass soul. That woman is evil. But you know, Donald Trump comes on and he plays the incompetent racist, and now you feel better about Hillary Clinton, don't you? You feel better about her. You can dismiss her calling your kids super predators back in the 90s. You can dismiss her calling single mothers on welfare lazy, you know, people who don't want to work and things of that nature, and which led to these all of these tremendous cuts to the social safety net, and then shifting of billions of dollars to the private, to provide funds for private prisons. This is nothing but political theater. And I'm a person, I vote, and I will vote, but I ain't gonna be voting for either one of them. I already discussed the way I vote and my long-term voting plans. I can walk and chew bubble gum at the same time. I can engage in economic activity that's going to uplift our community. I can engage in business activity that's going to uplift our community. I can engage in all sorts of things. I don't have to just choose one. I put my eggs in many baskets, and I work with many people in different areas. So You know, I do vote, but I'm not voting for one of them. People saying, well, we ain't got a choice. Well, there is Gary Johnson. There is Dr. I forget her name over at the Green Party, Jill Stein. Yeah. And I actually know some people that work closely with her. Bruce Dixon is in the Green Party. Y'all might know Bruce Dixon from Black Agenda Report. He's in the Green Party. I might even do some work for them, you know, as they talked to me months ago. But that ain't why I'm a vote for them. That ain't why I'm saying this or that, because, you know, they might hire me to do some media work for them. But no, because I'm trying to introduce a fourth party here in North Carolina, where it won't be just Republicans, Democrats, and Libertarians. It'll be now Green Party. Four choices, okay? And if I do get into running for public office, it'll be through the Green Party. So, anyway, not telling you not to vote. I'm just telling you what's going on. There's theater being played. You know, you're paying, what you're doing is buying into a Broadway play. That's what you're doing. So anyway, that's my program for today. We got Tando Radio Show coming up. Tando Radio Show will not be live today. Brother Dave is one of the hardest working talk radio hosts that I know of, and he deserves a day off to do whatever it is that he has to do, and he has some stuff to do today. So there will not be a Tando Radio Show tonight. Also, Race Treaty is still, those guys are still traveling, still out in the field doing human rights work. I know Brother Robin works a lot with the North Carolina Black Lives Matter movement here in North Carolina, and I know Brother Onaje, I think he's in New York, but you know, he's always out there doing some stuff, you know, working with people to address the issues that we are faced with from a human rights perspective. So this will be the last live broadcast of the day, but of course we will be running pre-recorded content all night long, so you can still tune in. You can also go to blacktalkradionetwork.com and check out any of the podcasts of any of the programs on this station, the podcasts of the other, you know, black media producers, and also check out their radio streams. Now, again, I am in the midst. I've already done it. Actually, my work is done. In terms of, we set up the new radio server, because the old server, which was less secure and was using outdated software, I'm still on it right now. I'm talking to you on it right now, but we will be switching over. I have completed that work. It was painstaking, but I got it done. And we were using upgraded software, which is more secure. The audio quality will be much better. And so that's done, but I have to reprogram this station that's on the new server, meaning I got to upload more content to it. I don't know when TuneIn will switch the streams. I already put in the request for the stream. So I'm just waiting on them to do their part. But again, I'm not waiting on them. I'm also doing what I do on our own platform. So that is what I need to get to work on. That's what I'll be doing all throughout the weekend, other than household chores, you know, work around the yard and stuff like that. So with it being the weekend, y'all be safe out there. No drinking and driving, no drugging and driving. If you use any kind of substance to relax, I'm not judging you. Who am I to tell you what to put in your body? You know, don't do nothing that's going to harm you. But if you partake in any of those substances, don't do it out there on the road, man. Come on, please don't do that. Let alone, I don't want to see you getting killed in an automobile accident. I don't want to see you killing somebody out there. Just stay at home. Do what you will in the privacy of your own home or in your own yard. Don't make it easy for the slave catchers out there. It's a battlefield out there. I saw a report today that said since the shooting of Michael Brown, over 2,100 Americans, people living in America, and I don't know how the people can classify themselves however they want to classify themselves, but Let's just say people behind the enemy lines of USA Inc., over 2,100, since the killing of Michael Brown, have been killed by slave catchers. Now tell me, that, I mean, I wasn't seeing that kind of casualty report when I was in the Gulf War. And I got to look at casualty reports. Don't tell me it ain't a battlefield out there. Don't tell me how much things have changed and you know, we're just living in this. You know, it was like that back in the 1800s, but, you know, it's 2016. It's the 21st century. Ain't nobody, you know, getting mistreated and oppressed like that. Again, you have to avail yourself of the facts. And you will get availed of the facts if you stay tuned to Black Talk Radio Network. Stay tuned. Stop listening to them other people. And come on and listen to the very informed program hosts that operate on this network. Not just this station, but on this network. So y'all be safe out there. I don't want to hear any bad news about anything happening to any of you. So just be safe. With that said, I'll be back on air next Monday with the next episode of Black Talk Radio News. Peace and blessing to all.